Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 11th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyairam.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF Youth Secretary for Legal Affairs, Tongai Kasukuwere, says he will use party channels to highlight his serious concern with the manner the party youth elections were held, which saw him losing out to Kudzai Chipanga for the top post of a Deputy Youth Secretary.
There, whatever complaints that we have, you know, we'll write to the relevant authorities to look into them so that, you know, they can come to a decision informed by the events that took place on the particular day and before the elections took place.
President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe's 2013 general elections won resoundingly by his ZANU-PF party, silenced the West and the MDC formations.
Victory enjoyed by ZANU-PF put paid once and for all the evil machinations of regime change that were being pursued by our erstwhile colonizers.
And a Highlanders soccer fan dies following street fights between Dynamos and Highlanders supporters.
ZANU-PF Youth Secretary for Legal Affairs, Tongai Kasukuwere, says he will use party channels to highlight his serious concern with the manner in which party youth national elections were held, which saw him losing out to Kudzai Chipanga for the top post and influential post of Deputy Youth Secretary. President Robert Mugabe admitted at the weekend that the youth conference was marred by factionalism, vote buying, and inept organization. The party's chairman, Simon Kayamoyo, has called as a result for a meeting Wednesday at the Harare Party headquarters to address the chaos that marred the youth conference. The Youth League conference and the Women's League event, scheduled for the coming week, are seen by many as a harbinger of things to follow the elective ZANU-PF December Congress. ZANU-PF Youth Secretary for Legal Affairs, Tongai Kasukuwere, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he is confident with the party's capacity to handle this issue.
There, whatever complaints that we have, you know, we'll write to the relevant authorities to look into them so that, you know, they can come to a decision informed by the events that took place on the particular day and before the elections took place. But, you know, it's all, we are doing it through the right channels of the party, and we feel the party will make the correct decisions.
So we can safely say you have written to the party leaders about your complaints?
We are in the process of writing to the party leaders, yes, because they need to be informed, they need to know. And this is not because we feel that, you know, it's not in any malicious way or anything, but it's just for public record. It's something that has got to be done so that, you know, we have the true picture of what is taking place on the ground. And they also need to understand of what is unfolding. Because as you know, a day before, the president, the day before the youth elections, the president spoke and he highlighted on these issues whereby he was saying, you know, people should not be using money, people should not be, the leadership should not interfere in the electoral process. And these are the issues that we are highlighting to the leadership of the party so that, you know, appropriate action is taken.
That was ZANU-PF Youth Secretary for Legal Affairs, Tongai Kasukuwere, on the line from Harare.
Political analyst Joey Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the succession dispute, as Mr. Mugabe ages, is causing friction in the party.
The first point that I should make is that the chaos is characteristic of internal fissures in ZANU-PF. In fact, the internal fissures were just manifesting themselves publicly. This is what we've always said, that there are factions in ZANU-PF. The center is not holding. The party is at its weakest point. If anything, it may also be on the verge of splitting, just like we've seen happening to the MDC.
Mr. Mugabe actually took a swipe at those promoting factionalism and also those who were allegedly involved in buying votes. But this did not stop. Does he still have that grip on the party?
Well, I mean, really, who doesn't know that these are Mr. Mugabe's last years in the party, whether we like it or not? ZANU-PF is already in a post-Mugabe era. This is why the issue of succession is a big issue in ZANU-PF. So what we begin to see now is Mr. Mugabe losing grip on his own political party or on the party that he is leading.
That was political analyst Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe's 2013 general elections, won resoundingly by his ZANU-PF party, silenced the Western the MDC formations. He says the party is now implementing some of its election promises, including the five-year economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIM Asset. Our reporter Mark Peter Ntambe reports from Harare.
Addressing thousands of people at the National Heroes Acre today, President Mugabe said his party's resounding victory has stopped what he called the evil machinations of the West's regime change agenda.
Victory enjoyed by ZANU-PF put paid once and for all to the evil machinations of regime change that were being pursued by our erstwhile colonizers, working in cahoots with local misguided political charlatans and quislings.
The 90-year-old leader, well known for his long and winding speeches at such gatherings, for the first time since independence, made a short address sticking to his prepared speech. He urged Zimbabweans to cherish the independence brought about by former liberation fighters who fought against the Ian Smith regime.
I therefore wish to acknowledge the role we all have played, whether as political parties or as churches and religious institutions, civil society organizations, and the general citizenry in enabling this culture of peace and freedom.
President Mugabe noted that his party has started implementing some of the election promises made in the run-up to the general elections. He said the president's focus was on implementing ZIM Asset, designed to resuscitate crumbling industries and generate millions of jobs.
This will inevitably promote, with increased investment, more employment opportunities, ultimately improving the standards of living of our people.
Critics have dismissed the ZIM Asset as unworkable, saying the country is not in a good position to get the much-needed $27 billion to kickstart it. Mr. Mugabe further said some major strides have been made in reviving the agricultural sector, with good maize harvest expected this year. President Mugabe said government has operationalized the 2012 national housing policy to provide houses for thousands of people at a time when there are illegal structures sprouting all over the country. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Mark Peter Ntambe.
Thanks, Peter. Zimbabweans from all walks of life have expressed different views on the significance of the Heroes Day, with some dismissing it as a non-event and others emphasizing its importance. Reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga spoke to Maqhawe Moyo of Kwekwe and Oke Ndlovu of Gwanda on how they observed the day.
My name is Maqhawe Moyo from Slovenia, Kwekwe. Yeah, as a ward, we contributed $1 each to those who are willing to donate. We donated $1 towards the Heroes celebrations. So we gathered at our school in our ward, 27 Zan, and we celebrated the day with the children, telling stories how the country was liberated from the white settler regime. Some war veterans were giving us what happened during the war. They gave us a speech.
Did many people turn up for this event today?
The whole country, especially our leaders, we are taking this game lightly because those people were the ones who went to war fighting for this country to be liberated. We are too much concentrating on Independence Day.
Yeah, my name is Okendo. I reside in Gwanda area under Chief Matema Williams, much south. To me, it's too difficult to understand this guy because I am a war veteran myself. Because you cannot remember a person who has gone. We are still alive ourselves. We have got Mickey. The guy learned to endure each and everyone, a war veteran who fought under Zipa or under Zanda, to make sure they have got farms or plots. But you will find that we applied for these farms. We failed to visit there on a reason whom I don't know. We are suffering. We expect more from the government to assist us. The government to make sure that we've got some transport of our means to go anyway. Even tractors, we can be given and then pay back, like what is the member of parliament have been doing.
That was Okendo of Gwanda. You also heard from Maqhawe Moyo on the line with Studio 7 from Kwekwe.
ZANU-PF supporters who had invaded the farm of ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa last week have vacated the property. The invaders breached the former ZAPU intelligence chief's Radi farm and started parceling out land, saying it was underutilized. But at the weekend, police ordered them to leave. Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi also called Dabengwa and expressed concern at the invasion. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached Dabengwa for more.
They retreated and they say they were going to consult their party leaders in ZANU-PF and find out as to whether they should return or they should completely withdraw from the farm. We are waiting to see whether they want to return or not. As far as I'm concerned, we're going ahead preparing for a court eviction order. And if that fails, then we'll take our own steps to make sure that they are not allowed to occupy that place again.
Have you spoken to anyone in ZANU-PF or has anyone in that party reached out to you over this matter?
No, really, I don't have to speak to anybody in ZANU-PF, but yesterday I spoke to the Minister of Home Affairs and he was surprised that these people had decided to invade my farm, and he hoped that there would be no repeat of that situation. So I don't know.
Did he not give you some kind of assurance that these people will not be allowed to return?
No, I didn't ask for it and I don't need it. It's only me who can guarantee that they don't come back.
That was ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo.
Six Chitungwiza municipal workers' representatives were last week Friday served with suspension letters on allegations they were absent from work without official approval and incited others not to go to work. One of the affected workers, Ephraim Katsina, who is the workers' spokesman, says the suspension letters were signed by heads of departments. His suspension letter had the signature of a Mr. Webster Gwanzura, who heads the works department. Other suspended workers are Thompson Bamusi, Miriam Chitsa, Peter Kapamba, and Israel Bako. Reached for a comment, Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti professed ignorance over the suspensions, while Town Clerk George Makunde was not reachable. Chitungwiza workers last month went on a crippling strike, demanding their outstanding salaries and allowances they were owed for over 14 months. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks to Katsina about the current suspensions.
I can confirm that six workers' representatives were suspended on allegations of being absent from duty without official leave or authority from their superiors, and also for inciting, as they are saying, that you incited other employees to engage into industrial action, but they did not say industrial action. They only said that you incited the other employees to absent themselves from work.
When is the suspension effective?
Suspensions were handed over to us on the 7th or 8th of August. and they are saying that they are investigating the case so that they can then write to us telling us of the date of the hearing.
So as we speak, where are you?
At the moment, I'm relaxed at home and I'm just seeing this unfolding like that. But the truth of the matter is that they have no basis for suspending us. And if we were to take them to task, we could have said that we invoke Section 104, Subsection 4B of the Labor Act 2801, which says that if the union feels that its very existence is a threat, they can regroup and go for an industrial action. But instead, we do not want to go that route. We wanted the town clerk to come to us and dialogue, because I think dialogue is the only way forward for Chitungwiza municipality.
That was Chitungwiza Municipality Workers Spokesman Reverend Ephraim Katsina in Chitungwiza with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
It never rains but pours for Toke Mkosi flood victims in Mashingo. The over 20,000 flood victims at Chingwizi holding camp say after struggling for months since February, the government is now seizing tents that were donated to them by non-governmental organizations and dumping them in what they call no man's land at the Nuwanense Ranch. The villagers fought running battles with the police last week after the first attempt to forcibly evict them flopped. But police later added more manpower and firepower and have now managed to evict the villagers. The government has failed to raise at least $9 million needed to compensate the villagers, which had led to the skirmishes. Chingwizi resident Milton Moyo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the villagers feel abandoned.
People are being ferried from the Chingwizi transit camp to the 1 plot hectares. Actually, the problem is we are just being dumped alongside the road. Then from there to the actual plot, you have to carry all your belongings 3 to 5 kilometers using your own means, which is one of the problems. There are no roads. We will be moving among trees. And the other problem is there is no water. There are only few boreholes which were drilled. So we are facing those challenges.
Do you still have the tents that were donated to you by some non-governmental organizations?
The tents were taken away from us. So it's like you just cut down poles and start to build your own houses with those poles. And we also hear that the chairman who was detained was under custody. It's just hearsay that he has passed away, but we do not have enough evidence to confirm that.
We also understand that some people are still being beaten by the police. What is happening?
Actually, we don't know what is happening because, say, when you are coming from Triangle, they at the bus stop, there are police officers who will be vetting you. If you just answer their questions, then they think that you are answering them wisely, they just beat you up.
That was former Chingwizi resident Milton Shumba on the line from Nuwanese Ranch in Mashingo.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabwe's former liberation fighters feel abandoned by the ruling ZANU-PF party.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Israel and Hamas have begun a new 72-hour ceasefire, giving the warring sides another chance to negotiate a lasting end to a month of fighting that has left 2,000 people dead. Egypt mediated the truce that went into effect early Monday and is hosting delegations from both sides for talks in Cairo. Since July 8th, more than 1,900 Palestinians have been killed, most of them civilians, in an Israeli air and ground offensive on Gaza to hold Hamas rocket attacks on neighboring Israel and destroy tunnels used by militants.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel says 3 days of airstrikes against Islamic State militants in northern Iraq have been very effective. Hagel said during a visit today in Australia that the United States will consider further requests for help from the Iraqi government.
And two members of the U.S.-based group Human Rights Watch say Egypt has barred them from entering the country ahead of a report critical of the killings by security forces last year. The group's officials, Executive Director Kenneth Roth and his Middle Eastern Director Sarah Leah Whitson, said today Egyptian authorities held them overnight at the Cairo airport before denying them entry for security reasons.
Thousands took up arms against the Ian Douglas Smith regime in the liberation struggle of the 1970s, which led to a political settlement brokered by Britain that led to a black majority government in 1980. The future still looks bleak for some of the former fighters who believe that they have been neglected by the ZANU-PF government for more than 34 years. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa caught up with some of the disgruntled former fighters and filed this report.
Elias Nyanyiwa operated in Mashonaland West under Chimurenga name Mutonodza during the struggle. He says the majority of liberation fighters are living in poverty. He says the lives of some ex-combatants with a link to the top aircoms of the ruling ZANU-PF party have evidently changed. Sadly, he adds the situation is not the same for most former fighters who are struggling to make ends meet, especially now as the effects of the war continue to take their toll on their health and the related issues. Nyanyiwa adds the Johnny Camelates of ZANU-PF and not genuine war veterans are the ones living large in the country with a few real former fighters at the expense of the whole country. He said the ZANU-PF leadership had largely ignored the freedom fighters until they threatened their patron, President Robert Mugabe, under the leadership of the late Chenjerai Hunji.
The main painful factor is that, you see, we were not recognized as people who did a job. We were treated like second-class citizens. There's nothing that we were given. They looked down upon us, second-class citizens. Until 2000, get me? That's when they started what? Running around because of the elections.
Nyanyiwa says though some liberation fighters were involved in the land program that kicked off in the year 2000, not many of them benefited from the process as politicians used their power of office to pass out land to their children and cronies.
We should have been given better places to stay, with water, with everything, as people who brought the country to the people. But that was not done. Those ones with the might and those in government went to better places with the backing of the government. We had no backing of giving small pieces of land, with no house, with nothing, no water to drink, no school, no nothing. Just given. That's where you're going. We had no choice.
Former Mashonaland West Governor Mudumeni Chivende's wife, Rosemary, says the government looks after dead heroes instead of taking care of the country's living legends. Chivende, a former liberation fighter, is now bedridden and struggling to make ends meet. Rosemary said she is not getting any help from the government and that the family is selling cattle to buy medication for the former freedom fighter. Chivende, who received the 7 heroes who perished at the famous Chinoy battle from Zambia during the liberation struggle, says he even did not benefit from the government's cash schemes when he left office after serving the government for 2-year terms.
Chivende akatorerwa motikari. Havana mbopuwa motikari. Izvi ndoda kuti muzvizive.
I don't know what people are thinking about people like Chivende. They don't care about him. They have abandoned him. They will go to the Hero's Acre this year again, but forget about Chivende. This is not right.
Urumbe Best War veteran Edson Gwenzi says the former freedom fighters are unhappy with the government's failure to honor its promise to allocate 20% of land confiscated from white commercial farmers to empower the ex-combatants. Another war veteran, Noah Kuzondwana, who was among 79 plot owners given permits by President Robert Mugabe recently, says land tenure for war vets should be different from ordinary permits. Kuzondwana said they should get title deeds for their small farms as compensation for participating in the struggle for independence.
Land is our gift. We've given that piece of land by the government. Compensation of what we did, isn't it? So we should not have the same permits, no. Our permits should be different. There should be permits that this man is entitled to this piece of land. There mustn't be a clause that when the minister sees this, the land is not being done anything, it should be removed from him. That's not it.
The former fighters think they should be treated differently from the rest of the country, adding they are against the government's introduction of a land tax, which they should pay back dated to the time they were given the land. Some Zimbabweans, however, do not agree with the war veterans' quest to be treated in a special way than the rest of the country's population, arguing the majority of Zimbabweans played a role one way or the other in helping free the country from the white minority rule. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Sungura singer Alick Macheso says he's elated and still cannot believe that his firstborn daughter Sharon got married today to Kudakwashe Munetsi at a lavish wedding held at Pakare Paye in Norton. Macheso says the venue was donated by music icon Oliver Mtukudzi, while other musicians like Sulumani Chimbetu offered to sing at the wedding as a gift to his daughter. Macheso tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye he hopes other young women will follow in his daughter's footsteps.
Honestly, to tell you the truth, it's like it's unbelievable to me. Anyway, I'm happy. And I'm double happy. Me, my family, and her husband, this family, we are happy and everything is going smoothly. So we are happy with everything right now.
Tell us about where the wedding is being held.
Right now we are in Norton at Pakare Paye. There is an art center which was built and run by Oliver, superstar Mtukudzi Samanyanga. That's where we are right now. Everything is happening here in Norton at the Pakare Paye Art Center. So he offered us that venue for free and we didn't pay anything. Papa Oliver and Mama Daisy, we are very happy with the help which they gave us. It is unbelievable, but now I can believe it. Now it is for real.
Take us through the journey that led to this day. As a father yourself, what words of advice have you given Sharon?
She should lead by example. You know, she has her siblings, you know, all of them, they have to follow her footsteps. And Sharon, she's going to stay with her husband. I wanted her to take care for the husband and the husband's family.
That was Sungura musician Alick Macheso speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye from Pakare Paye in Norton.
And finally, in sports news, a Highlanders soccer fan died yesterday following street fights pitting Dynamos and Boso supporters. Police say Temba Ngube of Sizinda Township died when he was attacked soon after the Castle Lager Premier Soccer game won by Dynamos 1-0. Ngube's relatives told Studio 7 they don't have money to lay him to rest on Wednesday. They are currently gathered at Ngube's residence waiting for assistance from well-wishers.
That's all we had for you tonight. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories.
ZANU-PF Youth Secretary for Legal Affairs, Tongai Kasukwere, unhappy with the way polls for the Youth League were conducted at the weekend.
President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe's 2013 general elections won resoundingly by his ZANU-PF party silenced the West End MDC formations.
That's the broadcast this evening, but remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk. We are talking about Heroes Day commemorations. This is Sandra Nyaira signing out. Good night.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.